Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and how good is it that the footy is back? Round one of the JLT is kicked off. There's only four games, but we're going to take you through them and even a bit of a sneak peek at the GWS and Sydney Swans game that ended in complete darkness because they lost power at the ground and couldn't complete the fourth quarter. But as always on the show is Stevie Fizz. Welcome, pal, and how you going?
G'day, Jono. G'day, listeners. I'm doing great. Absolutely fantastic. We've had a huge response to things from last week's show. It was a ripping show. I really enjoyed it. Thanks again to Monty for coming on and blowing the joint up. I've heard pharmaceutical companies shares are through the roof after Statesman's Valium, Zoloft, Nutribullets. He's had to be consuming daily, possibly within the hour, just to calm him back down after Zach Merritt was ranked at 28. And I got to be honest, I've been concerned for his welfare. We've banned razor blades from his house. He actually tried to get a visa to fly over to the US, where you immediately get a gun on entering the country. Worked up. So I don't know. I'm doing great in comparison, but obviously looked like to hear from the great man.
And welcome to you, Statesman. How are you feeling and how well did you recover after last week's show?
I've got a strempel.
Who is it?
I have a strempel. Sadly, it's myself. Now, I've mentioned quite often that, yes, Tassie might not be as hot as other places, but the sun just gives off twice as much heat. So at 22 degree day here is actually quite hot in the sun, and on Sunday, being yesterday for when we're recording, I ran an academy session. It was a beautiful sunny day up in the north part of the state, and lo and behold, I didn't put any sunscreen on and I have the reddest forehead in history. Now, no cap. No,
recording this on Skype, and it's a bit grainy at the moment, but that red is as red as Steve's T-shirt. He's wearing a red T-shirt, and the comparison, you can't tell. You just cannot tell.
But I don't know how many years I got it. Yep, exactly. That was the message I was going to say. I don't know how many times I need to hear it, but obviously I haven't been listening hard enough. But there you go, gentlemen. Red.
They've actually added to that. There's slip, slop, slap, slide, and something else as well. The slide.
What do you do, slide?
Slide on a shirt. Like, you got to wear like a long sleeve shirt to protect your arms now.
I thought one of them was a shirt.
Or it might be sunglasses. I know sunglasses are in there.
Ah, right. I see. Slide on a pair of sunnies. Yeah, that makes sense.
But a bit of news coming out of the JLT. A few injuries. First one is your boy there, Statesman Zach Merritt. Only lasted a few minutes after
Monty's curse. It's Monty's curse. That's exactly what it is.
Down to 28 now. I had to
go to Twitter straight away and say, well, Monty might be right if the team's just trying to knock him out each week.
A bit of gastro through the team, but yeah, copped the elbow to the jaw. Haven't actually heard a medical report as to how bad it was, but didn't take part in any further in the game. But it is just a JLT game, and Zerrett will be okay. The Nank smacked his head on the turf and knocked himself out. That's a ruckman.
Good Tassie boy. One stays out in the sun, the other one smashes his head against the ground.
He only played a few minutes as well and got carted off with the concussion. David Asprey copped a knock to the head. Brendan Archie, there's been a bit of floating interest about him. He was doing pretty good up until three-quarter time and had his left ankle iced up. So, again, nothing to report just yet. Jeremy McGovern also went off with the knock to the head from Robbie Gray. Again, JLT, we don't know how well he could have been to go back on. And our boy, Donuts Motlops. He was giving us donuts, but he actually went off with a calf injury, surprising or not. But He was spudding.
Now, we're keeping this bet over from last year, lunch meat v the pizza boy. Are we continuing this, Steve?
I can't do cricket.
Is that a no?
I'm going to insert some crickets or something in post.
And other injury news, a big injury news to Will Setterfield, who we had high hopes for this year, did his ACL in the intra match against the Sydney Swans, so that he is out for the season, but look to get him for next year. And a suspension, Robbie Gray has gone for a week on the bump of Jeremy McGovern, so there you go, you do the bump, you're out for a week. Good, you're lucky Trent Koch and the rules weren't in last year.
Tough 6 months for that boy, but I'm sure he'll come back bigger and better.
What do you do with Gray? Do you drop him just for the one match? You just leave him where he is? Does he slide at all?
He could actually slide because he did give absolutely nothing on the game, so you might be able to get him a bit more value now.
Hmm.
True.
Oh, I mean, I'm not moving him, but I mean, people might. I don't know. You know, people love to come out guns hot.
That is true. People do overvalue the JLT series, which they most certainly would. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. We've got the Facebook as well and the website, draftdoctors.com.au, where we've got articles dropping each and every week. And we've got the mock site. So if you want to practice your drafts, check it out. It's mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. We are going into draft season, so it is a very handy tool.
Oh, Jono, just quickly, just for everyone out there in who plays the AFL fantasy game, and we know that's at least seven of you, the great man who actually won the car, was it the car they give away?
The Hilux.
The car, they gave away a car. The great man who won it, Selby, of Maury something era's magic.
Moira's.
Yeah. So he's using his platform in the best way possible. He's actually sharing his spreadsheet that he keeps all his fantastic data on. We've $25. You donate $25, goes to the Starlight Foundation that helps the sick kids. And I couldn't think of anyone using their platform in any better way than that. We're behind it. So you hit him up on Twitter at Moriera_magic, and he'll you get the links. And, you know, certainly just chip in. It's $25. It's like, if you've got it to spare, it's great. And you get something for it. You get his fantastic research on every player. Like, it's, you know, you're getting something for it.
I had a quick look at it before we went on to recording, and it's fantastic. Like, just all those nuggets of gold that you might not even be thinking about. So I can't wait to really get into it and have a good look at it.
And we know there's at least 70 players in that format because I came 70th last year.
I thought it was the one before that. get your mind out of the gutter. But there was some free play.
Crickets again, please. Crickets
over
again.
The weekend. I don't know.
Oh, John O'Mara made a joke about 69.
Yes.
Hey, all right.
Hey, well done. Sorry, I've matured and gone past.
Very nice. Very nice, Jono.
It's a you know, a highbrow 69 joke.
Yeah.
We must have a lot of content this week.
Yeah, fillers.
We've just been getting some good reviews before that gag.
Yeah. Well, four reviews this week, but coming up a bit later on. But there was a game played on Thursday night out in the middle of some suburban park in Sydney between the GWS and Sydney Swans. They only got through three quarters of football because the power went out in the area and they couldn't complete the fourth quarter. So there was a little bit to take out of the game. We saw Will Setterfield. He actually looked really fantastic before going down with that ACL injury. He was attending centre bounces. The halfbacks were actually looking for him because he had the poise to punch it inside 50. Johnny Patt. He was pushing up the ground a lot, leaving that forward 50 open for Jeremy Cameron. So I think Steve called it earlier in the year that Johnny Patton is going to be pushing up the ground. Took a few ruck contests as well. Old man Ryan Griffin, he was roaming the half back line when, wait for it, Heath Shaw actually pushed forward and was trying to kick some goals. He had no idea where to set up. So I do hope they leave Heath Shaw in the back line with Ryan Griffin to generate a bit of pace off the half back there until Griffin gets injured, of course. But once Setterfield did go down with that injury, Jacob Hopper was attending the centre bounces there, so I was pretty impressive with that. And Lockie Whitfield, I don't know what his ceiling can be, but he looked unreal. Tom Scully Mark II, but can actually score fantasy-wise. If he stays fit, he looked really good to me. He just ran all day, and great poise with the ball as well. Onto the Swans, Jakey Lloyd, he was the one taking the kick-ins. Lukey Parker, resting forward, didn't spend too much time on the bench, so could be a chance next year he goes as a mid-forward, which would be good. But he looked great as well. Naismith was actually beating Dawson Simpson in the ruck, but no Rory Lobb did play on Thursday night. And the interesting one for me was Nick Newman. They put him basically on the wing, and he was just playing between the 250s, and that was his role. Just wasn't getting in any contests or anything like that, but it's certainly one I want to take a look at in the next couple of JLT games.
Yeah, I like Newman. I know we've got a question tonight about him. My biggest fear is, we all know he can get the footy. My biggest fear is whether he's going to constantly be in the 22. If I know and hear and it's pretty clear that he's going to be in that best group, then he's worthwhile getting, no doubt about that, because the boy can score.
And also, what's his role, defined role? Like, I can see him being playing in multiple roles this year, which would hurt his scoring.
Very true.
Yeah, maybe just one for the ultimate footy where he's got the back status.
Yeah.
Oh, look, if he can punch out 84 with the defender status, that's fantastic. But the first game kicking off on Saturday afternoon, it was the Roos taking on Melbourne in Tassie. And how did the Roos go there, Steve?
Not well. Not well, Jono.
Anyone of interest to look at?
No. No, I mean,
I hear Kartung was racking up the contested ball. He had one.
He did have a contested ball. No, good on him. Look, what's the take home from this? It's not much. You know, I don't think anyone's particularly excited about any kangaroo. I mean, I don't have any kangaroos in the top. Oh, sorry, I guess Luke McDonald I do have in the top 10, and yep. He was very underwhelming, I got to say. But I mean, Goldie got spanked by Gorn. He had a good Supercoach score, I guess, but nothing really. I mean, the Kangaroos were just
yuck.
I really don't have a way to finish any sentences when I'm talking about Kangaroos players. I mean, if I was in Supercoach, I'd probably look at the defenders because the ball is just going to be flying down there, you know, all the time. But very underwhelming. Very underwhelming. Hit out. No good scores at all. Jack Zeeble.
Zeeble's about it.
The guy tries his guts out even in a practice game. But I hope we'll take more out of their next match because this was very underwhelming.
LDU, what were your thoughts?
I mean, he'll work into it. I'm not going to go crazy. It's just one match. I'm just trying to blank slate this game, to be perfectly honest. I was probably more interested. The thing was, they sort of set up very similar to how they've been setting up. It just struck me as such a really listless performance. I'll try to look at their next match and say, I'll take something out of that. I looked at the Demon side of the ball. They were there to crush. I'm just not excited. That's all I can say about North Melbourne in general.
Especially when Brad Scott's running the tag, a heavy tag in a pracky match against Clayton Oliver. I mean, what the hell? That's something to watch out for. Drafters there. Benny Jacobs is going to be running that hard tag.
I don't mind it because Jacobs obviously missed a lot of football. So fair enough. You get him the reps, like doing what he does, because he's got no other game. You may as well do it. Just get him used to the contest again. But I mean, I guess that's something you can take out of it. That if Ben Jacobs is in the team, you know what he's going to do.
That's right. But Oliver still scored pretty well, so.
I just wonder whether at some stage he gets freed up, because he was an absolute ball magnet in his junior career. I think he's probably in the top 10 of players leaving the championships heading to the AFL with overall scoring. So he can find the pill. He's just never really been given the opportunity.
Yeah, maybe he gets that chance. I don't know, but this is the time to find out. And if they're not going to do it now,
when will they?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it happens. Maybe he has that Ed Curno sort of shackles off situation. I don't know, man. It's really just such a horrible fantasy team to be looking at.
Well, thanks, mate. I feel better now.
Whereas on the flip side, it's hard to get a read on the D's when they did crush the Kangaroos. I mean, Alex Neil Bullen, I know Steve pumped him up in his rankings there, and Julie
Stowe. Christ. Thank Christ I got that right. moved him up 20 spots, and thank God.
Yeah, he was just playing on the wing, doing what the hell he wanted, sort of playing that Angus Brayshaw role from a couple of years ago, just pushing up the wing, kicking a couple of snags, just doing what the hell he wanted. 80% time on ground in a pracking match. I'm liking that. Scored pretty well in both formats. Your boy, Jesse Hogan, playing as that full forward. Kicked 3 goals on Mad Jack Doar, though. So, not. I want to see him play against a proper defender. He was still good. Look, took 3 marks. Oh, sorry. Kicked the 3 goals. Scored pretty well as well, but I want to see him play against a proper defender because Mad Jack, I don't rate as much chop as a defender, but the breakout is coming if he stays fit for Jesse, you would think. Jake Lever slotted into that team really well. Only the 3 marks, but the kick-to-handball ratio is a bit interesting. 4 kicks, 11 handballs. You'd think he'd be kicking the ball more, but just due to the situation was the handballs. Bernie Vince, no, don't buy into that hype of his good scores. You had Nathan Jones only play about 40% of the game. You had Jordan Lewis play about 24% of the game.
I reckon Bernie Vince might be out of the 22 by the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. It's a sucker's score that he put up there just to lure people into drafting him. But I'm not buying what he's selling this year because there are blokes like Harms and Hunt all well ahead of him in that back line. And moving on to Jordan Lewis, they slotted him down in defence late last year and they did that again, but he only played 24 minutes, so it's hard to get a gauge of where they're actually going to play him this year. And Petracha, he was good. Just the 19 disposals, 11 contested possessions. But the Supercoach game is about efficiency, 57% effective. I'm sure he can touch that up throughout the year.
Probably just, you know, one move that did happen that we're sort of expecting to happen. Tom McDonald, Jono, obviously playing forward, was very expected. I've got to think that slides him in your dream team formats. Probably doesn't kill him in Supercoach because he's going to have his games up there if Melbourne are going to improve. What are your thoughts on Tom McDonald and going forward?
Yeah, look, definitely I agree with that dream team format sliding because those marks, he's not going to get as many marks with the ball coming inside defensive 50. He will have his games. We saw him kick, 5 or 6 goals against West Coast last year, so is a proven goal scorer. You know, if Hogan does miss with a hammy or something for a couple of weeks, they're going to look to Tommy Mack, and then that will boost Big Cam, who struggled a bit.
And what do you think about Maximum?
If he stays fit, he's pushing up there for the number one contender.
I used to be a contender.
In boxing?
I need to ask the question, what do you think of the German sausage?
Fritsch.
Mature age recruit forward, kicked a few goals, maybe could have kicked a few others. Looks an exciting prospect.
Yeah, look, I think they're going to use other people like Jeddah and that through there. He might play a few games here and there, but I can't see him being best 22 unless he comes out next week and does something magnificent and then just keeps that momentum going to cement that spot in the team. But look, if you're Sally Kappa listening to the show, go for it.
With a name like the German sausage, I just hope he gets games and becomes draft relevant.
Could you imagine BT and JB calling that on a Saturday night? The next game was Essendon v Richmond in what turned out to be a bit of a lacklustre game.
Well, I wouldn't call it that for the Essendon crew. First goal of the game to Adam Saad, their new recruit from Gold Coast. The second goal to the second greatest player in history, lunch meat Devon Smith, the remarkable man he is. So they would have been quite excited by that. So they probably got a fair bit out of the game. What they probably didn't expect was that they were going to play Richmond, who were firing on all cylinders. Now, unbeknownst to all of us, what's actually happened with Richmond, they haven't gone in like most grand final teams and had 16 players have surgery. They've got back on the track, fit as a fiddle right from the start, and have been pumping through a pre-season and look fired up and ready to go. It's very unusual. That it's very early to speak, but it doesn't look like there's going to be a hangover involved. They look hungry. And I think that shocked Essendon a little bit, who are changing with a fair few new people, new game plan, new style. And I don't think it all linked together. And I think John Worsfold's comments was there was a bit of confusion out there. So there's a fair bit of work to do at Essendon, but there's no doubt they've got some talent. So Devon Smith, 26 possessions. We all know that he's got an injury risk, but 93 in a preseason game is pretty impressive, especially with his role and the amount of footy he got.
Do you think that was a bump because Merritt went down so early, or you think he's going to be there permanently?
You know, look, I said right from the start that they recruited one, one and one, one forward, one midfielder, one defender. I'm still pretty happy that that's the case. I think he'll rest up forward. I've got no doubts about that. But I think he's the probably looking at the 50-30-20. So 50 on ball, 30% forward, and then 20% on the bench. You know, it varies a little bit. We all probably hope he keeps his forward status, and there's a fair chance he will. But he'd be around that sort of borderline mark. Speaking of Zach, obviously with the Monty curse, unfortunately he's probably not going to play a full game all year now, and average something like about 64, just so Monty can rave on all week. But look, nice little start by him, just unfortunate issue. We also don't know how much this illness that ran through the club affected the team. So there might have been a bit of an impact with the result there as well. But look, I'm happy with Merritt. Got his hands on the footy, got hurt early. But he was still, you know, getting that footy nice and early as we expect from him. And Goddard, I'm a little bit worried about where Brendan Goddard is this year. I think he's another one that might drop away. He's just getting to that age. I don't think Parrish and McGrath stood up well enough, even though they got a fair bit of the pill. We're talking 21 and 18 possessions respectively. But Parrish, 8 and 13, and McGrath, 7 and 11 with their kicks and handballs, is a bit of a concerning ratio there. And maybe that's just because they were under a fair bit of pressure. Adam Saab was good, but I never think he's going to be a big scorer. I think people got excited about it, but he was never a big scorer at Gold Coast. He's just one. He's going to get more bounces than he is kicks. That's the reality. And he's going to look flashy. He's going to look great for the for some of the broadcast reels, but I don't think he's a fantasy scorer. The interesting one that's going to come a little bit later, and I know we've talked about a little bit, is what's going to happen with their ruck model. Yeah, is it going to be shared, or are they going to rotate a number one ruckman between Louis and Bell Chambers on and off? Because they're both quality ruckmen, but how do you manage them both? Because you've got to think that Joe Danaher is the perfect little foil for them to take a little bit of time. So you only need one of them playing, and which one it's going to be, look, is quite interesting.
Yeah, I think they're going to go with Belcho, because he's the one who did the majority of the heavy lifting last year, and Louis only just filled in when he went down, and as you said, Danaher was the backup. I can actually see Danaher pushing up the ground a bit more as well, Nick Riewoldt style, because he's got that great contested mark and booming kick, so it's going to be interesting how their style of play is going to develop. But Jackie Stringer...
But with the rucks, though, you've got to remember, base it on who's had a good pre-season. This year, it's Lewenberger.
Yeah. We'll see... I don't see Lewenberger as that resting forward ruck, where correct. I see Bell Chambers as more as that. So, yeah, well, there's still another game or two to play out, so it'd be interesting to see how they're going to set up.
Yeah, Jakey Stringer did what Jakey Stringer does. He goes out there, does a couple of flashes of good things, then goes off hurt.
That's it, with a stupid new haircut, too.
Yeah.
And doesn't score any fantasy points.
Correct.
But tell us about the Tigers.
Well, you know, Dustin Martin, lock, stock, and lock. I think he's in line to be a top five pick in basically every draft. I mean, I guess in Dream Team formats, he may slide out of that range, but he looks in ripping shape and, you know, just primed to do what he does. So I think maybe the Brownlow hangover, as Statesman alluded to, I think, at some point last year, maybe this is another player who can buck the trend. He certainly looks good, and the Tigers look hungry. Josh Caddy gave you another reason to rank him at F8.
Oh, God.
Got to love that JLT form.
JLT form is money in the bank. No, look, there was a couple interesting things to come out of it. Bashir Hooley barely played, but he's probably one of the safer defenders I think you can get if you maybe wait on your first defender and, you know, he slides through to what, around four, start around five, something like that. He's probably a great selection in that sort of range if you do wait, or maybe you've gone early and you double up on the defenders. Kane Lambert, I take a lot of stock in his performance. We really saw him blow up last year, and I think we've all sort of got him ranked around the teens. He's done nothing to dispel the notion that he'll be through the midfield, pardon me. So I feel pretty happy about Kane Lambert. He might be someone who slides through the drafts just because he doesn't really have any brand value attached to him. He's really only done it once, but he did it well. So he's someone I'm looking at. And guy I actually really like, it's your mate, Jono, Nick Vlosten. It was actually Monty who brought up. We had a little bit of a back and forward on Twitter about it, and because I have him ranked quite low because I'm not a huge fan of Nick Vlosten. He tends to get role changes that kill him. But he did have some really good scores at the back of last year, quite a few tons in your Supercoach format, a lot of 90s in your Dream Team format. If he's playing across that half-back line, he'll have his matches. They won't all be super matches, but he will have his matches. Look, this is the thing. On the mock draft website, he's been drafted in the 230s. And he's better than that.
Do you see him more as a matchup defender? Because you don't think you could start him each and every week.
No, I think he's worthy of being on your bench, though. Let's say someone gets injured and Brandon Ellis gets moved out of there. I don't... these are the things that can happen. So, you know, Jack Graham's kind of hard. Like, people are sort of all over him, but he's only listed as a midfielder. I find it really hard to want to start him. He's fine. Who's the hair guy? The hair guy we like? Koch?
Rioli.
Look good? No, Trent Cotchin. Yeah, they all look fine. They all look good, but I just put any fears about drafting Dusty to bed. John, I've got the feeling he's probably going to go up pick two in our home league.
Quite possible.
So yeah, there's just more guys I'm not concerned with, I guess. The Nank injury is probably the big concern. I hate the concussions, and there's really nothing behind the Nank.
Sean Hampson, and that's about it.
Well, Sean Hampson's battling as well.
Yeah, I know.
So you
know, they got that other kid, Ivan's Chol. Cousin. Soldo?
Oh, yeah, Soldo.
Ivan Soldo. Soldo. So.
Don't say Chol.
Nah. But someone for Daniel Rioli, who's still recovering from that broken ankle he received in the grand final, is Shai Bolton. Popped up last year. Can present a little bit of value as that pressuring forward, but he's not going to... He'll be kicked out as soon as Daniel Rioli comes back in, who I'm pretty excited about in Supercoach formats especially.
Yeah, I find it hard to want to take Bolton in any formats. I'm just not a big fan of the small forwards and that's their role.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he'll be a good player, but that doesn't mean he'll be a fantasy player.
But if you are liking the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and Pod Bean. If you've got a couple of minutes, hit the five-star review button and do leave us a review, like a few people have this week. From Hazy101, he says he enjoys the pod. Great pod for all your AFL Fantasy Supercoach draft info. You guys keep talking about waiting on rucks, but where would you guys take a ruck in a 16-team league?
Oh, 16-team league's awful.
Imagine if it's a two-ruck 16-team league.
Can I say I did do a test run doing the mock bottles. But what I've found with the 16-team league as well, depends on your structures, but if you got the 5-7-1 5 structure on a 16 team, what you'll find very quickly is your midfielders will run out. And I mean seriously run out. So what you would need to do, and you'll find that your forwards and your defenders will actually have some quality still at the end when you're trailing. So I would go very hard on your mids. And once you're starting to secure the majority of your mids, I'll be probably locking in one of the top 10 ruckmen. I think we sort of covered that there's probably about 10. There might be a few others that pop up, and there could be a couple of late value ones. But I'd suggest that you maybe should be looking at it, you know, around that 6th or 7th round, and you'll still get a good value one in a 16-team league.
The next review is from Chris, and I'm going to stuff this name up. Kiwo Mia, I hope I said that right. He said, very good and informative, but he would like a little more thoughts on rookies as the key players are known the most. Thanks for that, Chris. The next review is from JRWatt2. He goes, not too sure about their top fives, but their advice and banter is certainly worth 5 stars. Also have plenty of time to help out the community over Twitter. Much appreciated. Thanks for that. And the last view is from Bill 1234567 8, and he says, the best AFL fantasy related podcast by a mile. So thank you very much for all the reviews this week.
Who did Bill think he was leaving a review for?
Yes.
It's a big question.
Statesman's mate, is it?
I will respond to Chris too, just in regards to the rookies. I actually prefer to see some exposed form. I think we can go through the prospectus, we can see through the draft tracker on the AFL website, and they give us information on how they tracked in their junior years. What we like to see is a bit of exposed form. So what type of role are they going to play? They're going to be defender, they're going to be forward, or they're going to be mid. Now, a million midfielders get picked up, but they might play mid in TAC Cup, but they're most likely going to get a small defensive role or a small forward role, etc., etc. So we like to see a bit of exposed form to see if they're up to the rigours of AFL footy. But once every club has actually played one of the JLTs, we'll do something on the younger ones for the keeper leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. And moving on to the next game, it was the Crows taking on the Freo Dockers. It looked like the Crows were going to run away with this, but Freo actually came back and led with a few minutes to go, thanks to your boys there, Statesman.
Yeah, doubled up. Fifey first. Didn't he look superb, gentlemen? And wasn't that a few good marks up in the forward line? Kicked 2 goals. I think that's something that's going to happen this year, that you're going to see Fifey a bit more up in the forward line. And that's good news for quite a few things. Firstly, for Fifey's super coach scores, I think you're going to see contested marks rise for him. And hopefully you'll see his goal scoring increase as well. And Freo really need to have that X factor up 4, because they currently don't have it. They don't score enough. They can defend well, but they don't score enough to win enough games. So Nat Fife up forward, I think, is something you're going to see quite regularly.
Well, they do have an X factor player, but he just can't get on the park because his calves let him down.
If your name is Lockie and you play for Fremantle, you're a gun. We all know this. Well, I've actually written a bit of an article about the fabulous Lockie Neal today. 25 disposals, 5 tackles. He even got a goal as well for a score of 95 in AFL Fantasy. That is a sensational start to the season. And isn't it great seeing both him and Fife on fire during the preseason? So we're talking, they're not coming back from injury. They haven't had all these ops. They've done a full preseason. They are firing right and ready to go. So expect big things from both those boys. Your AFL fantasy leading scorer from Fremantle will be Lachie Neale. Your super coach leading scorer will be actually Nat Fyfe. And I think that's the way they'll pump it down. The interesting thing, Lachie Neale had the drop of 10 points from 111 or 11 points, 111 to 100 last year. But his super coach points only went from 113 down to 109. So it wasn't if he was having too much of a less impact on the game, but he was a little bit slower to start the season off because of the injury concerns. David Mundy was actually impressive in his new role, and I think he's going to spend a fair bit of time up forward. Michael Walters probably didn't get enough of the ball, but tackled hard, so seven tackles for him. So he got 74. Be interesting to see what happens with his midfield time. Certainly can rack him up when he's around there. Speaking of rookies, an exposed form is very positive with Andrew Brayshaw. So nice and early pick. Got 66 with 14 disposals, including six tackles. So he looks pretty positive. Another rookie who is actually on the rookie list, but he's a mature age player, averaged 25 disposals through the waffle last year, was Bailey Banfield. Scored 65, kicked two goals out of his 11 possessions. Looked quite classy, gentlemen. So there's a bit of go about that. That's one we should watch for the longer term. So that's for the dynasty leagues. You should be looking at possibly sneaking him very, very late. Now, one, I'm really interested to see what happens this year. So no Clark. We have no Griffin. We have an injured Darcy. That leaves Aaron Sandilands only being supported by Meek. So the reality, Meek is not up to it yet. It will take a little bit more time. They will be going one out with Sandilands. They may bring Ryan in when he's fit and ready to go, but I reckon he'll play some waffle games first, and then they might go in tandem with Sandy dropping deep forward.
Would they even use a Michael Johnson as a pinch hit ruckman?
I think that's what's going to happen nice and early in the season. They've done that before. So I think Sandilands going to start the year really well. Now, there's a couple of risk factors there. Of course, the body, he hasn't given us a full season for 3 years. But when he gets a roll, he's a big scorer. And you guys would know in Supercoach, if you've got players like Neale, Fyfe and Walters around at his feet, it can get pretty high scoring for Sandilands. So quite impressive. Connor Blakely was impressive. Luke Ryan, it's going to be interesting which one gets the floating role, but I reckon Blakely's going to be a big scorer either way. Didn't see enough from Matera. I've rated him higher than what he delivered at the moment, but let's see him have another crack. I think he's spending a fair bit of time off the ground too, though. Nathan Wilson, not enough for me, gentlemen. I haven't seen him high scoring anywhere, and I think that sweeping role is going to be Blakely's or Ryan's, not Wilson's. And Bradley Hill, wipe that one clean, gentlemen. He's going to be a top-class scorer. But, you know, talking about midfield only this year, I think you actually find that he's sort of that sort of M5, M6 level.
The guys I really want to... I just want to chat about Luke Ryan, man. I'm trying to sneak him late in my super coach draft. He is one I'm all over. What are you shaking your head about?
He's hot on my list as that value pick as well, so don't worry about that. I've been using our website, mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au, and just picking him right at the end of the draft there, so pretty happy with Luke Ryan.
That's exactly, hey, look, real life couldn't go any other way. But look, your kick-ins, intercept marks, I'm all over it. I love it. And great foot skills.
Moving on to the Crows, without Sloan and Brad Crouch, it was the Matt Crouch show. He ran around, did pretty much whatever the hell he liked. Expect that to continue this year. Bryce Gibbs, he was good. Had the 27 possessions, kicked a goal, was at the centre bounces. But is it a bit of fool's gold? We didn't see Brad Crouch and Rory Sloan there. So I know he's still going to score well, but is he going to move back? I just don't know. I just want to see when the other two guns are in there, look, he's still going to be a quality pick, and he's that vanilla pick that no one likes to have, so you will get the value out of him, but I just want to see it with the full team in there first. Good personality. Acting captain should put the big C on him each and every week. Just does what he does. Does what he does. Go up to the ground, taking mark, kicking goals. He's going to be another slider there. You're just going to pick him up. You're just going to see him there. Just grab him in your drafts. Curtly Hampton and Cam Ellis-Yeoman. That's fool's gold right there. You see him getting the clearances, six clearances for Hampton, four for Yeoman. They're only in the guts because Crouch and Sloan aren't there. They might not even play when these two come back, or they're going to get another role pushed out of the out of that midfield on the wing, forward or defence. So it's really going to hurt their score. So don't be pushing them too much up your draft boards just yet. Sam Jacobs scored okay for half a game of football. Tom Doty, if you're looking for a rookie, he looked pretty good there down back. Scored your 84 Supercoach and 67 Dream Team. Took the five marks. Looked really poised down there and really good skills. But other than that, I think it's just going to be the same old Adelaide Crows. They didn't look like they're going to change too much from last year. So there's going to be plenty of scoring to be done. But Josh Jenkins, woof.
Yeah, I think the guy who still has some appeal is Seedsman as well. Jono, maybe late in drafts, just plonked out on a wing there. And
he can score. Getting up the cheap ball. Yeah, absolutely. I forgot about Seedsman there, but yeah, no, he was fine as well, but you know, you're gonna have your blokes like your Atkins push forward. They're pretty much capped, so I wouldn't worry too much about them at all.
Do you think with Gibbs, I think he'll actually go where he should go, just because he's coming off such monster averages. You know, he'll slide back because it's Bryce Gibbs and everyone hates him, but he'll probably slide back to where he just should be. Like, I think he'll be good, but I don't, you know, last year he had a couple of monster games, like the 180 games. I just don't see those happening in this even team. You know, he'll still be fine, but he just won't be, you know, high-end M2 fine.
It'll be 100 to 105 average, which is still good. But and then you could have him as an M5 because people are just like, it's Bryce Gibbs.
That's bold, Cotton. That's bold.
That's all we got for the teams, but we got plenty of questions to get through. We're going to kick it off with our mate.
Sorry, what about the last game, West Coast Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
Port Adelaide. So I'll go through the West Coast Eagles. I'll do it nice and quickly for you, Jono, so you can get to the questions. But Andrew Graff, Luke Shuey got a ton of the pill, but they also got no pressure. I think everyone's commented on that through the Twitter sphere, which is totally understandable. And that's what happens if you let Andrew Gaff roam and use his run, give him freedom in a JLT and he scores big. I've been an owner before, love it when he's free, can't stand it when he gets attention. You just need to be mindful of that. The real big winner was Jack Redden, and again, everyone's already talking about this. We all knew that the inside role was going to be opened up with Mitchell and Pritis gone. Looks like Jack's getting the first run of that, even more than Dom Sheed. And I think that's right. I think that's why they recruited him 2 years ago, ready to go when Pritis was going to leave. They're just probably a little bit unaware when Pritis was going to go. So that's what he was brought over to the West Coast Eagles for. He's going to play that role, and he's going to pump out good scores. Be interesting to see how that impacts on Supercoach. But AFL fantasy score is going to be looking pretty good. Good to see Jetta get a fair bit of the ball, but again, there's a lot less pressure. Jamie Cripps played well up forward. Elliot Yeo, gentlemen, 20 possessions for 78 AFL fantasy. He played in several different roles, which is a concern again, but he is going to be one of your leading defender scorers. Liam Ryan, he's not worth anything in fantasy, but he is just going to be exciting to watch, gentlemen. And also interested with that sort of ruck thing, Vardy, Lysette, because we're probably all expecting Nick Nat to miss a bit of footy this year. I don't know what's going to go. It obviously looks like Vardy can handle that sort of forward role a little bit better. But do they need too many of them when you've got Darling and you've got JJK back there? So a few interesting things, and probably the only question mark, and I know you're going to answer no straight away, Steve, Mark Hutchins, would he get a game in this new look team?
Yeah, quite possibly. Well, don't have anything against Hutchins. Tagger. He's all right.
He's the tagger, so.
I'd rather see him in there than Lacroix.
21 touches, so you got a fair bit of the pill, and can put some pressure on as well, as the boys talked about. So the probably disappointing one, gents, Liam Duggan's been touted as a bit of a breakout candidate off the half back, but just didn't get enough of the pill.
Half a game.
Still not enough of the pill. 35 AFL fantasy points.
Well, he didn't build the score in any... Well, 12 touches in half a game, that's not horrendous, but there's nothing to build out the score. Like, there's no marks, there's no tackles. Yep. He's just that outside player. You know, if you can't get marks as an outside player, you're not going to be a good fantasy scorer. So,
correct. Yeah, so a little bit of concern there. Let's hope we see a bit more.
And on the Port Adelaide side, what's his name? Tommy Rockliffe just lit it. Oh, no, wait, he's injured. He's injured. Tom Rockliffe is injured.
Like Gary Ablett.
Who could have seen these things coming? It's just unheard of, quite frankly. But Pitt, good scores. I kind of like Riley Bonner still. Did nothing to dissuade me from wanting to draft him. Travis.
Although
Parker's...
I will say, was he mid only? I saw today.
No, he's defender.
Defender.
Okay.
Don Barry is probably the one coming back into the AFL. Looked okay. I don't know. He's probably more just a salary cap pick, whether he gets a gig or not. Who knows? These were kind of a mishmash Port Adelaide team. Jack Watts, forward, underwhelming. Justin Westhoff just continues to score for some unknown reason. Will the drop-off ever happen? Probably not. He just knows where to be and how to get on the end of it. So, again, there's not a lot to take you out of it. Robbie Gray decided to punch, or was it bump someone? So he's got a week. Sam Palpepper, had a shaved nut. So that was interesting. I don't know. There's not great fantasy scores. I don't know. Are Port going to be a big fantasy team?
I think they're going to be a team. No, I don't think they are.
I mean, they've got Ryder, who's probably going to be one of the top four rucks off the board, maybe top five. Rockliffe, you can pick him where you want. But outside of Gray, you see, there's no... Like, Gray was not out there all the time, but he's kind of up and down. Wingard's obviously missed parts of the preseason. None of the defenders scream, please draft me. They're just
Wines
a kind of...
is meh.
They're just a kind of hard team to get really excited. Ebert was fine, but he barely played. They're just a kind of hard team to, I think, get really pumped about drafting any of the players. And they've got that horrible bye. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about Port Adelaide? There's a lot of moving parts there.
Again, it's JLT one. It's a wait and see. You got to wait for next week. And see. They'll roll out the big guns next week, see how they gel together. I mean, Travis Boak, still got a bit of interest in him. Played a bit of forward up on the wing as well, so... Pretty happy with his scores. Still high on him in that teens area. For Travis Boak as a forward, Westhoff's going to do Westhoff things. To Pitt, I'd get that bump because Broadbent's injured, and he's the shining light there.
No, he does. He does because there was a lot of murky water surrounding that half back line because there's still competition there. But it just sort of got freed up a little bit, and he's obviously the guy with the past. I know he's not, he's kind of a strange guy to draft because he's going to be a D3.
No, they've got some really fantasy relevant players: Lindsay Thomas, Steve Motlop,
Jack Trengove,
Jakey Need,
Carl Amon played pretty well.
Who?
Carl Amon. No, I'm actually reasonably keen. He's a late pickup and might be worthwhile. The problem with him and Barry, who can both score, is how many games they're actually going to play, because they're going to be that sort of fringe 22. They're between 20 and 25 on the list.
But how bad are you going when you're Jimmy Tump and you can't even get a game?
Ooh.
Ooh. Was he top five draft pick?
Hey, there's a lot of top five draft picks Melbourne made that are in Port Adelaide's team.
And some playing around the in the A-Bush leagues.
Oh, God.
Did you hear about Dan Gorringe and another Gold Coast player? They signed up for just a local footy league and all was good. And then Rocket Ead got signed as the coach and they said, nah, bugger off, we're out of here because we don't want him as a coach.
That's awesome.
And they're gonna...
Yes, good old Baldwin.
Yeah, so pretty interesting that. Yeah, and then they're going to make Gorringe captain. But we do have some questions this week, gentlemen. Starting off with our old mate, Reed Fleming, who's at Mezzacolo on Twitter. He says, what are the most obvious role changes in the first JLT preseason week? He said, Lewis behind the ball. And for me, it was actually Jetta off the half back line. Now that they've given Wellingham the can, I can see West Coast using his pace and pretty good use of the ball, rebounding out of defensive 50 there. That's probably the one that stood out for me. And the Nick Newman one, very iffy on that one at the moment.
And T-Mac up forward, but we didn't know that was happening. So,
yeah. The next question is from at Cobras UF. He says he's got to pick two of either Christian Salem, Newman, or Witherden for a keeper league. Who are the two that you keep?
Well, my immediate reaction is Salem and Witherden because I reckon they're in the best team. But if I could square away that Newman's part of the 22 and is for a long time, then I'd probably change it to Newman and Witherden.
Yeah, Witherden's definitely for me, and I would have said Salem, but there's that curiosity about Newman that I like, and does he get that more guts time when a JPK leaves? There's that intrigue there that I like about him. So if it's just a redraft league, I'd be taking Witherden and Salem, but I do like Witherden and Newman the same.
Oh, I don't care. Just get rid of Newman. I hate Salem, though, so I don't really care. Just Salem can't play 20 games, and Nick Newman, I just, who knows? Can't you keep someone else? Keep Tom Hickey.
Don't be cruel. Salem and Witherden.
At Chris for T, Jeremy Bird on Twitter, he goes, what's a really interesting way to work out your draft order, and have you been a part of any interesting events to decide it? Yes, it's called the Royal Rumble, and that's generally the only one it.
Yeah, we do the... our home league does the... We lucky dip our wrestlers and we watch the Royal Rumble and we get the draft picks on that. But there's a number of different ways. I'm sure if you Google ways to determine your draft order, there'll be about a billion come up, mostly from your US sites. But yeah.
I've heard of people going down watching the Little Athletics and picking a kid in a kid race. And there's use the tennis. You pick a seed in the tennis and when they're eliminated, that's your pick. There's all different kinds of things you can do. But yeah, just Google it. They're probably the most interesting and fun ways you can find out. Or watch the TV show The League because they do some pretty interesting stuff.
I always like the idea of playing Kelly Pool, Jono. Because you can actually pot your own ball and that's where you want to pick. You know, if you want to pick at the back of the draft or something.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Our next question is from at Mitch Bagley on Twitter. He says, in a keeper league, who would be your top 10 who are yet to establish themselves or have their breakout? Jesse Hogan, yet to break out?
Yeah, I think he's already there, to be honest, mate. So I'll just give him five straight off the cuff. They haven't done anything amazing yet. But Harry Perriman, GWS defender, I think he's going to get the opportunity with quite a few out this year. Griffin Logue, who's a defender for Fremantle, he's going to be a big intercept marker for the defence for Fremantle for a long period of time. Isaac Cumming, another defender for GWS, I think he'll definitely be playing a lot of games this year. Brandon Parfitt, who's at Geelong mid-forward, played a few games last year, looks quite impressive. Hugh McCluggage, also at Brisbane, he might be a little bit highly rated than the others. I think you think of Reece Matheson as well. I think he probably has been seen a little bit But I think a big breakout is about to come. And I did have Will settle for as part of that group as well. But unfortunately, we'll just have to wait a little bit longer for Will's breakout now.
Yeah, you can even throw a Darcy Lang in there as well, and Matt Kennedy as well.
Absolutely.
From at Commandos Elite, he says, how would you rank Cochin, Joel Selwood, and Lockie Whitfield? For the Supercoach format, I've gone Joel Selwood, Cochin, Whitfield. And then for your Dream Team Ultimate Footy format, I've gone Whitfield, Cochin, Joel Selwood.
What?
Look at the averages, and I think Joelwood, you know me about Joelwood, he's going down. He's not so much your Dream Teamer anymore. Whitfield's set to explode, I reckon. I'm all about Whitfield this year.
Right, right.
He's going to be my new Lockie Hunter.
Right, how's Lockie Hunter going?
Horrible.
Yeah, right. Horrible. Yeah, the correct answer is... actually, I don't know. I still think it's Selwood, Cochin, and Whitfield. But if there's anyone I'm not confident on, it's Whitfield could make the jump. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think he will this year.
Yeah.
Next question is from JP68. He has pick six in his ultimate footy draft. Who would you take? Who do we like out of Taylor Adams, Dusty, Zorko, Duncan, and Rocky?
I would say Taylor Adams because he's going to definitely be available at six, and he's not as sexy as a couple of those other picks that'll go before. He'll be the best left at six.
Yeah, it'd be Taylor Adams.
Dusty won't be there.
If Dusty's there, grab him. I mean, I don't know who's in front of you not drafting Dusty in, before pick six. So, yeah.
Well, maybe someone gave Dusty. Matt Crouch a bump. Matt Crouch could rise. Why couldn't he? People love Matt Crouch.
Certainly do. I'm hoping Dusty slides to me at pick six in our home league. That'd be fantastic. Not going to happen.
I'll be going Lockie Neal at six too.
You reckon Tom Mitchell can get to me at six from that conversation you had with our mate yesterday?
No, I didn't. I said five.
Oh, five. And then he changed it to six then.
No. Bastard. Never said it.
Okay. Then he changed what he said. And our last question comes from James BAJ. He says, assuming he gets the defender status, where would you be comfortable drafting Connor Blakely in an 18 redraft this year? Is M3 too high? Because he got burnt badly by Brent Stanton last year and he hasn't learned his lesson.
Is that Warnie? Is James BAG? It's a burner account. in an 8-team, yeah, I'd be more willing to take a risk in an 8-team.
Yep. Agree. We did have one other question where we got a keeper league question. Robert and Mills offered for Sheed and Prestia, gentlemen.
Robertson and Mills offer Sheed and Prestia.
So two defenders for two midfielders.
Oh. Robertson's in his late 20s. Mills is young. Sheed and Prestia. Prestia's about 25. I'd take the midfielders, depending. Because Robertson would be gone in a year or two. You don't know what Mills is going to be doing because he's not getting tackles. Robertson would be gone in 2-3 years, and the other guy's got a long career ahead of him and can score quite well.
I reckon Robinson's 26, and I reckon Mills ends up being a long-term midfielder. So it depends on your balance, and it depends on it's hasn't got who's been who's getting what. But if you're short on midfielders and you flux with defenders, I've got no problems with that trade. And vice versa, if you've got no defenders and a whole heap of midfielders, it makes sense if it's the needs for both teams. I think it's a fair trade if it meets needs of both. Yep.
Well, we do know that Robin is just one tennis ball away from retirement, so.
And I'm all off Robin. I don't know why people think Robin's. He's just too role changey. He's not going to have a good fantasy role long term. I don't see it at all. I'm really way off him. I couldn't imagine being on him in any way, shape, or form. So for me to take that deal, I'm banking on Mills being a gun mid. Might happen, but the other, give me two bullets instead of one.
Yeah, fair enough. That wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the Facebook as well, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, where we've got articles dropping each and every week, and they'll be coming daily, leading right up until round one. Steve, just horrified look on his face there. And we have the mock site. We know your mock drafts are coming up as well, so do check out the site. It's mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. It's a great tool to get an advantage over your teammates. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.